Back to Road to Atlantic, your weekly podcast dedicated to all things Braves minor league baseball. I'm Gaurav, and today's episode is a special one, and we're going to be doing a full mailbag edition. We asked for your questions about the Braves farm system, and you guys all delivered, from breakout prospects and draft strategy to overall bullpen concerns and development trends. We're covering it all. Joining me, as always, are Garrett Spain and welcoming back Joe Carson. Two sharp minds tracking the Braves minor league system. Let's go ahead and get into your questions and talk about the future of the Braves. Garrett, I'm going to go with you first. Are J.R. Richie and Drew Hackenberg's drop in strikeouts a reason for concern? Drew is down to 5 strikeouts per 9 compared to his AA numbers last year, and Richie's has also seen a slight decline. Is this due to any adjustments to their arsenal that you've seen, or are we looking at just some small sample noise?
With Hackenberg, they're definitely focusing on command with fastball. That's been a big thing for them this year that I've seen. So he's kind of gone away from his best pitch, really, has been his cutter. They've gone away from that a lot this year. And I think that, again, the intent has been, let's get him commanding the fastball, the slider. They did that with Hurston Waldrop last year, beginning of the year, and he struggled. I think that's the issue that he's struggling with right now. I'm not worried about the strikeout so much as I am the command. I thought this would be the year that his command finally took a step forward. You know, they spent all of last year ironing his arsenal out and figuring out what pitches would work for him. They've settled on what they want from him, or it seems like they've mostly settled on what they want from him. We're not seeing the consistency with the command come yet. And that's until that comes, that's really going to be his limiting factor. I thought this would be the year that he kind of took the step forward and said, because the Braves obviously like him, they pushed him to AAA quickly. I thought this would be the year that he could potentially start getting looks in the major leagues. I think he's still at least a year off from that, unless, you know, we've seen guys obviously have pretty quick turnarounds before. But right now, I'm just not seeing the command from him. So the strikeouts themselves aren't a concern. I think the swing and miss, once he starts fully implementing that cutter back in, will start to come back more to where they were last year, but I need to see command. Richie, I'm not as concerned about. He had one start at the beginning of the year where his command wasn't very good. He's gotten better with each start. His whiff rates, you know, his swing and miss is down a little bit this year, but it's not terrible. It's really because he wasn't early in the year. That slider really wasn't hitting the spots that he needed it to. But I think with Richie, it's early in the year. We've seen him do the one thing that we really wanted to see from him was his fastball velocity progress back to where it was before Tommy John surgery. His velocity's there. His command has gotten better, especially the last two starts. He's been fantastic. Yeah, I'm definitely not concerned at all about Richie. I think, you know, I kind of had expectations that he would really blow it out of the water this year. He hasn't so far, but I think he's progressing in the right direction to where we're going to start seeing over the next couple of months him go to dominating like he was last year.
Yeah, like you said, those last two starts for J.R. Richie have been a lot of fun. He's shown, you know, they say the first year back from Tommy John is you kind of struggle finding your command and your release point and all that kind of stuff. And now we're entering year two, and his last start was 4.2 innings, 5 hits, 6 strikeouts, 1 run, 0 earned. And his one prior to that, he went 7, struck out 6, and gave 4 hits. He's put together a string of like really quality starts, and he's been able to throw each pitch in the zone, outside of the zone, command all of them well. Honestly, it's been really awesome to see. He's really adjusted faster than I thought he would be. And like you said, it hasn't quite been there, like those gaudy numbers that we expect someone, especially with his tools coming into the draft. But it's certainly looking like he's turning a corner, and he's going to be, you know, kind of hopefully taking over taking over high A and probably double A here pretty quickly if he continues on this trend, especially from the last couple of games. Joe, I'm going to go to you next. In your opinion, who is the next young pitcher in the Braves system most likely to make his MLB debut?
Yeah, this is kind of one that when I saw this question, I thought And usually you typically think there's some young arm maybe in AAA that could be called upon when there's need, but there really isn't anyone that I'm looking at on the AAA roster that fits this description. So I'm looking at the AA roster. There's a couple intriguing arms. One that I feel like you've seen Gaurav talk about on the timeline on X quite a bit is Blake Burkhalter. I think he could be an intriguing arm. I think he could help in the bullpen right now as he sits. But they seem to be really giving him a chance to start. If you're looking at pitchers who are on the 40-man roster, which is always kind of a cheat code when you're looking for that, could be Roldy Munoz, because he's got a big arm. He's in double A already, and he's on the 40-man roster. And then, I mean, there's some sleepers there that we've kind of talked about that are really exciting arms down there, Ellison Joseph and Giancarlos Lara. Those are two of the more intriguing and exciting arms down there that I think are not too far off. They still got to show a little bit more, but those are the ones that I'm kind of keeping an eye on.
That Blake Burkhalter cutter is absolutely fantastic, and I'll be ready pitch. I agree with you. I think he's really, honestly, he's good enough to be in the majors, especially in a bullpen role right now. But it's clear that the Braves want to keep him as a starter, continue to mount those number of innings pitched, get more at bat, not at bats, but get more appearances as is, and more pitches in game situations. So it doesn't look like that will be happening at any time. But he is a very interesting pitching prospect that could potentially make an impact sooner than later. Garrett, I would love to hear from you a little more about Blake, because you're quite high on him, and you've probably been the highest amongst all of us for the past couple of years. What is it exactly about Blake that really jumps out at you?
Yeah, I think with Burkhalter, I would agree. He's probably the next guy up. I would have said Lucas Braun when we came into the season, but I think Burkhalter's been better this year. It's just he's so dominant with his fastball and cutter. He has a carrying fastball, and he plays that cutter off of it well. That cutter is one of the best pitches in the system, and he throws both of those pitches so hard. You know, he's getting mid-upper 90s on the fastball, low to mid-90s on the cutter. So he's throwing the pitches hard, and he's been commanding them fairly well. He's had some games this year where he struggled, but he's getting them up in the zone, really elevating up and in to left-handed batters with that cutter. And the way he locates that cutter, he can use it to both-handed batters, which helps him a lot because his changeup really, that's been the struggle for him, is commanding that changeup. But the changeup shape is good. He's definitely kind of getting a feel for that pitch. He also throws a sweeper that's been effective this year. That's been the real progression for him, is this year he's commanding his sweeper better, whereas last year he really was just fastball cutter mostly last year. So he's got three pitches now, working on the changeup, which, once if he gets a better feel for it, I think you're looking at a guy with four pitches, a couple of them average 2+ pitches in his, a plus fastball, probably a 65 on the cutter. So you're looking at a guy with the rounded out arsenal who, the command could be better on the secondaries, but right now he's commanding the fastball and cutter better than I kind of expected him to do last year. He did it better than I expected to coming off of Tommy John surgery. And this year he's been just as good. And I think he's a guy that I think he can fit as a starter. I wasn't convinced when he came out of Auburn that he was going to fit as a starter, but seeing the shape of the changeup, seeing how he's progressed with his command, I think that's a guy that can start at the major league level.
Appreciate that analysis, Garrett. I know it was a complete random question, but we have all talked about Blake Burkhalter quite a bit this year, and it really does seem like he's taking a huge step forward. Changing gears a little bit, Joe, I'm going to go to you. With limited positional depth in the upper minors, do you foresee a shift in the Braves draft strategy toward more polished college bats?
So this is kind of one of those things that I think there's a lot of fans that obviously would love to see the Braves draft a polished, quick rising college bat. The problem is the Braves are a good team and they're kind of picking at the back half of the first round, and you don't typically get those big time bats in the first round when you're picking 25, 27 range. The other thing too is picking in that range, you kind of just have to go with best player available. So I know that the Braves have been pitcher heavy in the draft, and that seems to be a philosophy that they're going with. I don't think you can pigeonhole yourself into, hey, we want to take an outfielder in this draft, or we want to take a shortstop. you kind of have to see what falls in your lap and then make the best decision with what cards are on the table. You can't do I think they would take a polished college bat if it was right there for the taking? Absolutely. I just think that in their spot, you just kind of are left with kind of what falls to you.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there, Joe. The latest mock draft that dropped, I believe today, was Jim Callis at MLB Pipeline, and he had the Southern Miss right-handed pitcher JB Middleton mocked to the Braves, who's got I believe he's got 3+ pitches. I haven't read up on him in a couple of weeks actually, but he's got 3+ pitches. Falling to 22 would be an interesting opportunity for the Braves because he's going to be a little more polished than you would expect with a late round, first round pick. So that would definitely be interesting, but it would also, I'm sure, upset some people because it wasn't a bat itself. Building off of that, we're going to go back to a recent Braves draft. And Garrett, how would you evaluate, Logan Samuels, Seth Keller, and Brett Sears as deeper pitching prospects? Are they names to watch or just organizational depth? Keep in mind that Brett Sears recently did just get promoted. But yeah, Garrett, let's hear.
Yeah, Sears, I'm not really buying as, a legitimate prospect. The numbers are good. He's also a 25-year-old with a lot of college experience pitching against some much younger hitters. Great command guy, but I think all three of his pitches are fringy. I don't really think he has an average major league pitch right now. And so, again, a guy that can fill innings in the organization, but I'm not really sure I see him as a legitimate pitching prospect. Keller is tougher. The secondaries for him are still great, but he's battled so many injuries. His fastball velocity is significantly down. His command isn't good. I think he can't get away with both of those. If the command progresses, maybe he can get away with a lower velocity. If the fastball gets back to where it was prior to the surgery, he could probably succeed in a relief role, but he's got to have one of those two. The slider and the changeup are both, especially that splitter, is fantastic, but he has to either get his fastball velocity back or he has to get his command back in order to really see him as a legit prospect. So he is a legit prospect because, again, he's barely pitched over the last couple of years just with the injuries. But if he stays healthy, I do hope that the velocity will start to come back, and then we can see a guy that I would definitely see as a legit prospect. Because before he got hurt, I mean, he was in a rotation with J.R. Richey and Owen Murphy and was just as good as either of those guys, at least, at the high A, I mean, at the single A level. So, it's a guy with legitimate stuff. It's just about, again, right now, it's really about staying healthy. I'm just happy to see him healthy. Samuels is a guy that I've liked. I don't think that he's a guy that's going to end up, top 10 pitching prospect type of guy, but I do think he's a legitimate back end starter type. Commands his pitches well. He has 4 pitches. He's getting outs with his fastball in the zone, which isn't that impressive at the single A level, but he has the shape of the pitch, a carrying fastball, throws it in the low 90s. He's seen that velocity bump since prior to the draft. That's really helped him. Throws a slider, a changeup, cutter, commands all 4 of those pitches. I think all 4 of them can get to the average major league level. I don't see him as a guy that has a true go-to out pitch, and I think that's kind of what limits his ceiling. But I think he throws all of his pitches well. He knows how to mix up location. He knows how to mix his pitches well, and that will help him. So I think he could be a guy he's a legitimate, I consider him a legitimate back-end starting prospect who's probably right now pushing for top 30 recognition already. But it's tough with those guys because a lot of times those guys that don't have an elite pitch, we've seen it with guys like Dylan Dodd, where those guys get to the upper levels, if they don't have an elite pitch, they can really struggle to get higher level hitters out. So that's going to be his next step. But I do think his slider is good enough that he's not going to get hurt like Dodd was, where I think his slider is better than either of Dodd's secondaries. And that's a big thing for those guys at the upper levels is do you have a pitch that you can get consistent swing and miss with? And I do think the slider is good enough for that.
Joe, the Braves are often praised for pitching development. Yet, aside from Strider and my notes say Schuster, I'm going to assume they meant Schwellenbach. Several top arms haven't panned out or have dealt with injuries. How do you think Atlanta's pitcher development stacks up against teams like the Dodgers or the Mets?
So I think there's a couple things that come into play. I think the Braves do a really good job with developing arms. I think sometimes they get unfairly scrutinized, especially when you're looking at one team every single day and you're focused. I mean, let's be honest. You focus a lot more on the ones that don't hit, and we kind of forget about the players who've come up through the system. And we've had stories, or the we know that Mike Soroka's Ian Anderson came up and had flashy before he got hurt. We had, Kyle Wright, 20-game winner before he got hurt. We have Schwellenbach, Strider, Max Fried. There's been a lot of really good pitchers that have come through the Braves system, and I think sometimes we expect unfairly some of these kids to come up and just be an ace right away. Everyone wants every pitcher to come up and be Spencer Strider, Spencer Schwellenbach, or Max Fried, and that's just not the case. I think those other teams like the Dodgers and the Mets have also not really developed a ton more arms than the Braves, but they have money to throw at more resources and more top international free agents or top. They can make trades because they've invested heavily in the international market, where the Braves didn't have the resources because of the penalties that they faced, that they could go out and kind of take more chances, and the Braves didn't have those resources. I think the development side, I would put them up against those organizations, especially now. I think that they are doing a lot better. But again, I think we just need to understand that not every single even top 10 prospect is going to come up and be a top of the rotation starter. I think that's kind of just unfair and unrealistic.
I'm going to add in even a team like the Dodgers, who have turned out really quality pitching prospects. They have 13 pitchers currently on the injured list, and they're dealing with just as many, if not more, injuries. Garrett, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with Joe. I think it's kind of unfair to say the Braves only had two hits. They've definitely had a lot more guys. Even a guy, you look in the bullpen, AJ Minter, fantastic relief pitcher. I think one of the things you got to look at is a lot of their, most of their higher draft picks were not under the current regime. And we've seen a shift in the system over the past, 6, 7 years where the players they're targeting are different. The way that they're developing pitchers has shifted over the past couple of years. And so I think you're seeing it's hard to judge the development based on pitchers that they drafted 5, 6 years ago, especially with the pandemic in the middle of that impacting a lot of guys. What you've seen since really 2021, 2022, there's been a lot of guys that have come out of nowhere. Lara, Burkhalter was a great find. Schwellenbach really was a great find because a lot of people had him as an infielder coming out of Nebraska. So the Braves have done a good job of identifying talent and maximizing their talent. Now, they haven't done a great job with their first round picks just yet, but AJ Smith-Shawver, again, another guy that we think is going to be great. So you haven't seen, I don't think you're seeing the fruits of what their development system is right now, where they've gone from a team that obviously, injuries are always a struggle with pitchers, but they've gone from a team that kind of had was really struggling to get consistent guys that we could succeed over time. Again, also Max Fried would be another extremely good example of a guy that they developed. Of course, that was also before the current regime, but they've shifted their philosophy over the past couple of years, even though it doesn't seem like they have shifted their philosophy towards what they target and how they develop those guys, and they've had a lot more success in the past few years at really getting in guys and maximizing their potential. So I think their development system has improved in terms of how they handle both pitchers and hitters significantly in the past couple of years, where before I would have put them pretty significantly below a team, but like the Dodgers, whereas right now I think, they're really churning them out at a much higher rate.
Yeah, I'm glad you touched on the hitting prospects because I was actually going to do a quick follow-up to that because we are seeing some of the lower levels, the lower level positional players really start to produce this year. Even someone like a Patrick Kluheisi has an 800 OPS. He's stolen 18 bases. He's actually looked really good defensively in center field. So they're finding really good. It's a late round draft pick too. They're finding, some really interesting players out on the field. But yeah, that most of them are young, and it's going to take a lot of time for a lot of the wild cards to hopefully come to fruition, especially, like a Jose Perdomo, a Diego Torrens. Torrens is, I think, 17 now, so he's like 5, 6 years away. Best case scenario type deal. So I think we have seen an increase, and the Braves farm system is shifting higher, and it looks like they have some of the right coaching as well. I'm becoming a very big fan of the Green Jackets' new manager. He's really trying to push, development and success at the same time, being very aggressive at the plate, being very aggressive on the field. It's seems to be a pretty significant change from where we were in years past. So it is something to continue to monitor and really see how the farm system develops over the next few years. Garrett, I kind of want to build off of that question, because just last night or a couple nights ago, we had AJ Smith-Shawver throw a one hitter. What in your mind, maybe this question was just asked too early and they needed to watch one more start. What does AJ Smith-Shawver need to do to really take that next step in his development?
I really think it's just refining command at this point. I think his slider, I think all of his pitches are where the Braves need them to be in order for him to be a mid-rotation or better starter. It's really about refining the command of all his pitches, especially his fastball. Fastball and slider. He tends to leave those pitches over the plate, and when he does, he gets hurt. Other than that, I mean, I think his arsenal is where it needs to be. His splitter has gotten to the point to where it's, easily his best pitch. It's an dominant offering. So I think really that's, it's just refining that command. It's easy to forget that he's still only 22. They moved him so fast, so it's kind of feels like he's been up there for a while and he's failed a lot, but it's also like he's 22 years old. I mentioned the other night, he's younger now than Spencer Strider was when Strider debuted. So there's still plenty of time for him to figure that stuff out. And when Strider came up, he was dealing with the same command, same issues. How is he going to command the fastball perfectly? How is he going to command that changeup? So I think that's really what it is for him, just refining the stuff. I have a lot of faith in AJ Smith-Shawver, what we know about him, not only as an athlete and a player, but as a person. He's a guy that works. He's a guy that takes to what the Braves tell him to do and, applies those lessons. And so I really have a lot of faith that he's going to figure it out. And unfortunately, he didn't figure it out. We kind of hoped he would figure it out last year. It seems like the injury kind of set him back. But I think he's in a position now where moving forward, it's just going to be those slow steps towards being the guy we think he was, we thought he was going to be, and we still think he's going to be.
Couldn't have said it better. Joe, I'm going to go to you for this next one. Maybe it's a bit too early, but any ideas on who or what position the Braves will target in the draft? It feels like a college shortstop or outfielder should be a priority. You did talk about best player available, but based on what you've read, who do you think or what position do you think the Braves should target with that first round draft pick?
Yeah, again, I don't mean to try to, like, I'm dodging the question at all, but again, it kind of just comes down to what's available at the time because, yeah, in theory, a shortstop, a college shortstop or outfielder with some bat to ball skills or some power would be nice. It would be, but also there could be a run on outfielders or shortstops early that pushes an arm that you didn't think was going to be available down to you in the 20s. So I think judging by their last few drafts, I would lean they're probably going to go with a college arm. And I mean, it's one of those things that you could never really, discount the fact that Anthopoulos and their team might just find someone that you didn't expect them that may have some questions. I mean, I know there's that someone asked about using a high draft pick on relievers. They're not afraid to take some guys that have been relievers in college and try and give them a chance to start, like they did with Burkhalter and Spencer Strider. So I would lean that they're most likely going to go with a college arm. But as we saw last year, if someone like Caminiti slides to you and you have a chance to take one of the highest upside high school arms, then you're going to do that too.
Garrett, let's go back to you here, and we'll talk about one position player One position prospect specifically, is John Heil the real deal? He's young and toolsy, but has struggled to make consistent contact in A ball. What's your all overall evaluation of him?
Yeah, I think we agree on Heal. The two of us, I don't know exactly how Joe feels about it, but I think we both really believe in Heal. He's so young, and the thing with him is yes, the contact quality hasn't been what you wanted, but he can cover the zone well. He has a great approach in terms of recognizing ball strikes. He gets a little aggressive. He's young. You get a little excited. Those guys get a little excited at the plate, can take some swings that they shouldn't, but really it's about mechanics for him right now. He's not consistent with the swing pass, so he tends to, what we're seeing right now is he swings down on the ball a lot. He's just kind of hitting it straight into the dirt. And that's one of those things that we've seen with a lot of prospects. We saw it with, even a guy like Ronald Acuña Jr., where he was hitting, Ozzie Albies. They were hitting just too many ground balls at those lower levels. But that's one of those things that tends to regret, that guys tend to figure out over time with coaching. And the Braves have done a good job with a lot of players of getting them to elevate the ball more. So he's a guy that we like there. Obviously, the speed, that's 80 grade speed. He already has, last check, 21 stolen bases. He may have more now because he keeps stealing like two a game. He's been fantastic there. And I think defensively, he's progressed a lot. I like what he's done. Obviously, the foot speed out there helps him at shortstop. He's more consistent with his actions. He's more consistent with his throws. So I think he's progressed to where I'm now looking at him as a guy that's 100% going to stick at shortstop, may even be an above average shortstop. So that's a guy that I think he's stronger than what the numbers have shown. As long as the power continues to progress, the contact quality should get to where we want it to be. And again, what we know about it, the way he approaches at bats, what we know about the way he covers the zone, I think he's a guy that is going to be, he may already be the best guy at, below AAA. He's probably their best hitting prospect right now, or I would put him there. It's kind of, I really do think he's up there with Perdomo right now in terms of how I would grade him. Just, I think that the athleticism is there. I think, all of the traits are there for him to be a great player.
Plus, he's a double, he's a double plus speed shortstop guy, which is also a very intriguing tool set to have with a great arm. I think some of his issues this year are just slightly overstated because in the first eight games, let's just be honest, he was horrible. He was hitting 114, he had 343 OPS, but over his last 16, he's got an 815 OPS. He's hitting 308 and he's got 16 stolen bases over that 16 game stretch. So we're really seeing him put quality game and quality at bat after quality at bat. I know some of the coaches over in Augusta are really happy with his quality of at bats. So that's, at his age, that's something you really want to see. And especially, it's really nice to see. So we're seeing him really progress faster. Faster than you would expect for, again, I've said his age a lot, but for someone his that young to be as, polished as he is, being able to read off-speed pitches and react to breaking balls, like that's not something you generally see with players that young. So him, his just ability, there's going to be those inconsistencies as he continues to find his swing, like Garrett was talking about. But there's a lot to like about John Heil, and I do also buy into that above average defensive shortstop. As with that kind of speed and his contact ability, he becomes a very, very unique player, and someone that I really hope hits for the Braves, because that's going to be a really significant kind of positional prospect.
And one thing too with him being only 18 years old, he has 14 walks and only 18 strikeouts. I mean, that's something too with his and something you see with younger toolsy players who haven't quite put things together yet. You usually see a much larger disparity between that. So he's not up there just hacking away at everything like some younger prospects get kind of carried away with, especially if they start struggling.
Kind of want to throw in like an Izzy Wilson, but Izzy Wilson, of course, had more power. But all those tools, you think he's going to be, so much potential. But then the strikeout walk disparity, the strikeout really is what did him in as a prospect. Staying in that kind of realm, Joe, I want to hear from you. Who has been your biggest surprise in the Braves farm system so far in 2025?
I'm going to kick it over to Garrett after this, but one thing that I have noticed a lot this year and that I'm very excited for is Isaiah Drake. I think that he has been someone that we have been hoping would turn the corner like we're starting to see now, and I'm hoping that this is a sign of more to come this year. But he's always been, again, a very toolsy, raw player when he was drafted. Always been a great kid that we thought could, put it together. And we're finally starting to see some of that. We talked about it yesterday and his numbers versus left-handed pitching. He was almost unplayable, probably was unplayable last year, where this year he's made some massive strides there. And I think he's showing the signs of why we were excited to watch him, when he was drafted, and it's fun to see a kid like that put it all together.
And chime in with Isaiah here real quick. What you are seeing as well is he's not expanding his zone. It's really nice to see he's doing what he thinks he's capable of doing. We find more consistency. His hit tool is actually a lot better than I thought it was going to be this season as well. So he's been a very really, really good surprise for me. Garrett, let's hear from you.
Yeah, Drake, one of the things we saw it last year, and the Braves have done this with a few guys. They did it with Drake Baldwin. They did it with a little bit with McCabe, though he was a more patient guy. They did it, another guy that they did it with was Robert Gonzalez, where they're really at that single A level telling guys, single A, high A, we want you to sit back and take more pitches. Just take more pitches. Even if you think you can hit them, take more pitches. And you're seeing a lot of guys that are running up high walk rates, and then they kind of get back, then they kind of let them slowly, swing more earlier in at bats. And we saw that with Isaiah Drake, where he was swinging early in at bats at pitches that he shouldn't swing at. And now they've kind of gotten him to where he's taking a lot of pitches. He took a lot of pitches last year, and he took a lot of pitches that he probably would have normally swung at. But this year, they've kind of let the leash off of him a little bit, and he is really succeeding with that. And you can see where just having seen more pitches, his ability to recognize secondary pitches has improved. His ability to, lay off pitches just off the edge of the plate has improved. And that's where we're seeing the approach has gotten to it, has been taken to another level. And then they made swing changes where, last year he was a slap hitter, and that's all he was doing last year. We're seeing him take bigger hacks this year, and really he's staying online to the pitcher with his mechanics. That's really the biggest change. That's where why he's gone from a guy who struggled. I mentioned this in my recap on battery power. Last year he was really struggling against lefties because they could really just throw the ball on the outer edge, and the way he swung, he could not reach that pitch. He couldn't. And so he struck out a lot. He just hit the ball on the ground. He wasn't doing anything with those pitches. This year, lefties aren't able to take that approach with him, and he's able to stay in the zone and cover more of the zone effectively. And we're not seeing him quite. The one thing we haven't seen him do just yet is elevate with power to the pull side. That's kind of the next step for him, but he has really checked every single box for me that I've wanted. And he's done it a lot faster than I thought he would. I didn't think I had some belief that Isaiah Drake could turn it around. I did not think it was going to be this fast. He's made so much improvement so quickly that he's gone from a guy that, was kind of hanging on the edge of the fringe of the top 30 to where I think he's solidly in that. And, everything that he's done this year has really blown me away. But I think actually another surprise would be David McCabe. I was really down on him last year, but, he's struggled a little bit the last couple of weeks, but the approach for him, the swings that he's taken this year, he's improved so much over what we saw last year. I was definitely expecting him to be better than he was last year, but I was not expecting him to really completely turn it around to being, he's getting on base well over a 400 OBP, swinging and missing a lot less. He's made a lot of progress too.
I'm going to actually go back to what I said earlier and do another shout out to that Augusta Green Jackets staff because I couldn't agree more. The adjustments we've seen from Isaiah Drake far exceed any of my expectations for him this season. He's well ahead of where I thought he would be. So, hitting coaches Ruben Gotay and Garrett Wilkinson over there and manager Winston Sawyer, they're doing one hell of a job, and it's becoming like the sample size is big enough for me because there's not just one player, because Isaiah Drake, John Hill, Eric Hartman, all these position players, they look better than I expected. And you can't say those coaches have nothing to do with it. So those three are really opening some eyes, and it's becoming to the point where I want to see players go there to develop. It's very interesting. And again, it goes back to a lot of the draft talk we've already had. And Garrett, I'm actually going to go one last time back to you. And it's a tough subject because unfortunately, it seems like a lot of us were right about him. But what's going on with Hurston Waldrop? His strikeout rate is low. He's walking nearly as many as he's striking out. Has he reached the point where a bullpen move is realistic, or do you think they're going to keep him as a starter?
So to answer the second question is easier to answer. I would keep him as a starter. I don't think it's worth it to move him to the bullpen. I think that his problems are so bad that I don't think moving to the bullpen fixes them, because his issue is that he's has such an inconsistent release, inconsistent delivery that he most of the time he really just doesn't know where any of his pitches are going. And yes, his splitter is great, but the thing with his splitter is, we've talked about this before, he really has to throw it out of the zone to be effective. And because of that, it can't really be his primary offering. He has to pitch off of something, because otherwise, we saw it last year at the major league level, hitters learn very quickly, I don't have to swing at anything he throws. And if they're not swinging at his splitter, he can't really do anything with it. Obviously, when he's getting hitters to chase, it's a dominant pitch. It's going to put up whiff rates and contact quality that exceeds any other pitch anybody throws in the system. The problem is he kind of has to throw it out of the zone. And so he's going to have to be able to succeed in and around the zone with his fastball. And he's either missing the zone with his fastball completely, which is primarily what's happening with him right now, or he's making bad pitches and his fastball. We've talked about his fastball shape. It's not ideal. They're working on different things with his fastball. His release, he's just so inconsistent. And that's really been his issue. I do think his slider is actually better this year. I know, you kind of look at the numbers and they seem a little doom and gloom. I do think his slider is a bit better this year. I think he's commanding it better than he was last year. That's a positive takeaway from him. But right now, until he starts throwing the fastball for strikes and is able to throw it for good strikes, not just throw it down the middle, because his fastball is hittable. Even with his velocity, his fastball, he doesn't have a lot of extension. His movement is below average. So even with, throwing in the mid-90s, his fastball is hittable. So with him, he's going to have to throw quality strikes with this fastball. And until he's able to do that, I don't think he's going to be able to succeed in either role. And now that kind of seems like a really negative perception of him, but I do think he's not that far away from it. It's just he's blowing up. Like, he's having stretches where he cannot throw it anywhere near the zone, and that's where he's having issues. If he's staying near the zone, I think he's going to be okay. It's just about making competitive pitches with his fastball. Right now, he's not making competitive pitches with his fastball, and until he does, it's going to be, I don't think either a bullpen or a starting role is going to be a place for him. He's got to improve that consistency. And, we just haven't seen it really since he's had that. It's been, I think the injury last year threw him off and he hasn't quite dialed it back in. But I do know, if you can even look, if you go look, and I know this is a lot of research for anybody to do, but if you go back and you look at just the charts on Baseball Savant of his release point, they're changing things with him. They're trying to get him to, have more horizontal movement on the fastball. And it's just the release point right now is so inconsistent, because, and a lot of it is, the changes they're making to try to maximize him. He's kind of, again, still in a transitional phase. It's taken him a while to get through it. It's going to be, I don't think we're at the same point with him. I don't think we're as high on him right now as we were last year. Obviously, he struggled a lot, but I don't think it's time to move him to the bullpen. I think it's just he needs to get as many reps as he can. And What I think is really with Waldrop, they need to figure out exactly how to get that fastball working for him. And once they do, and they're not mixing and matching that pitch as much, I think he's going to be able to really progress in terms of how he commands the pitch. And it just, we haven't quite seen it yet.
You talked about their release point a whole lot. I know also that they're making mechanical adjustments to his delivery as well. They're trying to eliminate the leg kick. He's working on it. We'll see if he's able to continue to do it in a game. But they're trying to change as much as they can to get more out of that fastball because right now, as is, he's a single pitch pitcher, and he really can't challenge too many people with his. The current variation of his fastball, and you saw the limited success he had in the majors because of it. I have time for maybe a couple more questions. And Joe, this is kind of a more lighthearted one. Who would be your picks for the Braves minor league MVP and Cy Young for the first half? Or for the first month, really?
It's still kind of early. Really, I mean, like you said, it's only been about a month. But so I'm gonna base it just on the ones that I've been excited to watch. It may not be their numbers really, but I would go Blake Burkhalter. And just for the things we've talked about, he just looks like he has what it, the mix to be a big league starter. As you said, his cutter is a big league pitch as it is. And he just looks every bit of the part. And I think it's been great to see because I think, as Garrett said, forgive me if I'm wrong, but that I think there was a lot of belief that he would be a pure reliever coming out of the draft. And he's kind of proved us wrong. And I'm looking for more of that going forward as he continues to get innings under his belt and continue to develop. I think he's going to be an exciting arm to watch. And on the position player side, I'm going to go with a couple. Ambjors Tavares. I think this one is someone who's brought a lot of joy to Garrett because he's been someone that Garrett has been high on for a while now. And we started to see flashes last year. We talked about it last year in a couple episodes, but we saw the flashes. We saw something click with him. And then he unfortunately got hurt at the worst possible time for his development. But he seems to be kind of picking up where he kind of left off. And in this year, it looks like another potential big year of development for him. And the other one, kind of someone that's jumped out, Owen Carey. I think he's an exciting young player. I think he's been one of the better high school position player draft picks for the Braves that we've seen in a while. And I think that he's shown a lot of potential. There's some things he needs to kind of clean up a little bit still. And I think the Braves are very high on him because they let him or put him into the spring breakout game, which shows you they're really, really high on him, especially for an 18-year-old. Who was just drafted?
I like how you brought up Owen Carey. They're even making changes to his swing as well. I know that they're working on I believe this is his front elbow and dropping it just a little bit more. Garrett, what about you? Who are your first month All-Stars or MVP?
I agree on the Burkhalter call. I think that's been the guy that's been the most impressive. I will throw another guy in there. He had one really bad game, but Dylan Dodd, I might throw him in my surprises list too. I definitely would throw him in my surprises list. His cutter has been so much better this year. Just him throwing harder in a bullpen role, his cutter has been fantastic. That's a guy that I think, he's probably going to pitch in the major leagues in the bullpen this year. And I know that probably doesn't, guys that have anybody on this list. Anybody listening who has seen him at the major level probably isn't excited about that, but what we've seen from him and that cutter this year has been impressive. It's quite a major turnaround because he was really missing an out pitch, and that cutter is well over a 40% whiff rate. So he's been fantastic. I think he's a guy that's going to get an opportunity probably pretty soon. Maybe, probably the next guy that goes down or needs to be replaced, it'd probably be Dodd replacing him. On the hitting side, I'd probably go McCabe. He's just been fantastic. Again, it's been a little bit slower lately, but his numbers have been terrific this year. 434 on base percentage, and he's hitting for power. I know the power numbers on their surface aren't great, but keep in mind the context of the league, the Southern League, you really don't have guys that hit for power there. It's a very pitcher-friendly league altogether. So him having, his power numbers are above average for the league. He's got more walks than strikeouts. He's been fantastic this year, and I think he's a guy that is showing that, I think going into last year, the question was, is he going to hit enough to play first base DH? Because I still don't think he's a third baseman. I don't think I've seen it as a third. I don't think I've seen enough at third base for him this year to think he's going to stick there. Is he going to hit enough to play as a first base DH? I'm worried that the power won't quite be enough for that position, but I don't think the hit tool is as much a question as I thought it was before. He's handling velocity better, and this year he has a 154 WRC plus, which is very, very good.
You just have to love the approach at the plate for him, right? He's that 434 OBP is something that is repeatable by him because he's got knowledge of the zone. He's that hit tool showing up this year has been significant. He's got solid, I would say like doubles power right now. It'd be nice if he was able to hit for a little bit more, but like we said, Southern League, you're not going to have crazy offensive numbers just because every single stadium is basically a cavern. But I definitely agree with you there, and like both of y'all's picks. All right. Well, I probably shouldn't have ended the show this way because we're going to end on a bit of a sour note. However, there are easily ways to kind of easy adjustments to make for him. But Garrett, what's going on with Drew Hackenberg? He doesn't seem to be developing as expected. Any thoughts on what's holding him back?
Yeah, I mentioned this a bit earlier. Maybe I should have saved a few bullets for this question, but it's really just the command isn't quite there yet. I think again, so to put a positive spin on it, like I said earlier, I think we're going to see the same Hackenberg we saw last year once he starts instituting his cutter more often. I think his changeup's been more consistent this year. I think that's a positive for him. Last year it was, I still don't think it's a great pitch. There's not, he throws it hard. Right. So he's throwing that pitch, upper 80s to low 90s, whereas fastball is sitting around 90 when it's, so you're looking at like a 5 to 6 mile per hour difference. So I think that's the biggest thing holding back his changeup, but he's locating it better this year. He is getting more, he seems to be, again, once the cutter comes back in, I think you'll start to see more of those whiffs for him. The slider has been on and off. I think he's had games, last year, outside of one or two games, really his slider was a non-factor. He was not throwing it near the zone enough. I think we've seen already more times this year where he's throwing good sliders. It's just that pitch is his best pitch. He just is not throwing it near the zone enough to actually get hitters to bite at it. In terms of its raw movement, in terms of its shape, in terms of its quality, it's his best pitch if he can get it near the zone. We've seen it a little bit more this year. I haven't quite seen it consistently, and again, the fastball command's the biggest issue. His fastball, he doesn't have a lot of movement on it. It is getting up in the mid-90s, but he's not, again, he doesn't have elite movement, so he's not missing bats in the zone as much as you see with some other guys in the system that are having more success at the double-A level. So it's going to be about command with him, and he's not commanding it well enough right now. He's either, again, missing the zone, kind of like we talked about with Waldrop, not as bad, but he's either missing the zone non-competitively, or he's catching too much of the zone. So with that, you're not seeing as much swing and miss. They're working him more at the bottom of the zone this year. They seem to kind of be taking the approach of focusing on how well can he command, in and out versus up and down. Last year, they really wanted him to focus on commanding up in the zone. Now they're really kind of focusing on how can you command the edges of the zone. So that focus has kind of taken away from his ability. I don't think that I don't think he's regressed. That's the one thing that I want to say is the numbers don't look great, but it's more how they're utilizing his arsenal rather than how the quality of his arsenal. So once we kind of get the training wheels off and we start to get more back to the approach we saw with him last year, I think the numbers are going to go back to where they were last year. And I do think there has been a little bit of progress with this slider and with this changeup. It's just the fastball command isn't what I thought it was going to be. I really did think with his athleticism, with his propensity to learn, because saw last year he learned and improved his cutter. He learned and improved a four-seam fastball. He has the ability to learn new pitches. He's very good at it. It's just the aptitude for command hasn't quite been where I expected it to be yet, and that may just take time with him. You have to com I mean, this is still only a second full season of professional baseball, so there is a little bit of time for him to kind of take that next step. That's really what I want to see from him. But there are positives to take away. Again, I think the slider, changeup, those are positive takeaways for me right now. And he just has to get the fastball command back to where he's not walking a lot of guys and he's not leaving pitches over the middle of the plate.
Yeah, I don't really think he needs to really change too much. I think it's just going to be kind of like how Chris Sale had a couple of bad starts. He found his arm slot was a little off and he changed that and he was back to normal. Like, I don't think there's any profound changes that Drew has to make. He's just got to find the fastball command that he's had before. And once that comes back, it's kind of back to normal and he's back to being the pitching prospect that really forced himself into a lot of conversations for this year. Well, guys, that'll do it for this mailbag edition of Road. I'm about to say Road to Atlanta. Peach State Prospects. Huge thanks to everyone who sent in questions. Your insights and curiosities make these episodes possible, especially this one. As always, thanks to my co-hosts, Garrett Spain and Joe Carson, for going through the gauntlet that all of you put them through. If you enjoy the show, be sure to subscribe, leave a review, and follow us on social media to keep up with all things Braves prospects. We'll be back next week with another episode and more updates. Until then, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.